In 2014, a ute driven by a drunk, drug-affected driver hit and killed two people on a suburban street in Sydney. One of the victims was a 47-year-old woman. And when the case went to court, there was a statement that was prepared by her parents to be read out. The statement said, "We miss her every day and every night. We will never forgive him. He killed our special baby daughter." You could say that this is a natural human reaction. In early 2020, in another suburb of Sydney, seven children were walking to the shop to buy ice cream. And another drunk, drug-affected driver, also in a ute, came around the corner and four of the children died at the scene. Next morning, the children's mother, Layla, went back to the place of the crash and said to the news cameras, "I think in my heart to forgive him. I'm not going to hate him because this is not who we are." Some people wondered how she could say that, why she would say that. But a year on, she stands by her decision to forgive. Last month, when the TV cameras returned, Layla said, "We have forgiven him, and so we are able to grieve peacefully. This is still our position, and in all honesty, I pray for the driver and pray for every person who is involved in the accident." And she's not saying this because she's just sort of emotionally disconnected. She still cries every day. Christmas was particularly hard. Today, we're going to think about forgiving others. And in particular, the connection between forgiving others and our prayers to God. See, I don't know about you, but every time I pray the Lord's Prayer, I get up to that bit that "forgive us our debts even as we have forgiven our debtors," and it forces me into a moment of self-reflection. I think, oh, do I give the forgiveness that I seek? And I think Jesus recognized that we'll react to this way to his prayer. Because as soon as he's finished teaching the prayer, he goes back to the topic of forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now, let's not misunderstand this. It's not as if Jesus is saying, well, you got to be good to others to earn something good from God. Because forgiveness, by its very nature, forgiveness is something that is not earned, but given. What Jesus is teaching us is that our prayers shouldn't be the prayers of hypocrites. Do you remember? That's how we started this section. I mean, I would be a hypocrite, wouldn't I? If I asked God to forgive me, while at the same time I refused to forgive others. Not that forgiveness is easy or simple. The Puritan Thomas Watson, he once observed, "A hypocrite will read, come to church, give to the poor, build hospitals, but cannot forgive wrongs. He will rather lack forgiveness from God than he will forgive his enemies." And so what I want us to do today is to consider two questions. First of all, what does it mean for me to forgive? And then second, and probably most importantly, where will I get the strength to do it? And so, what does it mean for us to forgive? It's a good question because I think sometimes people are reluctant to forgive, partially because they misunderstand what forgiveness really is. Let me bust some myths about forgiveness. We might think forgiveness means, well, let's pretend that something didn't happen. Now, that's not forgiveness. I mean, okay, there is a time in life to just forget about something. You know, someone does something, it's an accident, you overlook it. Someone might be just a bit careless, a bit tired, they're having a bad day, so you just bear with them. That's good. But that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is a response to something which is actually too big to ignore. And whether we're talking about physical hurt, emotional hurt, social hurt, like when our reputation's damaged, in these situations, it can be the right thing to call out sin for what it is. I mean, that's certainly how God reacted to what we've done. When we turned our backs on him, when we chose to love created things instead of the Creator, God told us clearly, what was it about that that's offensive to him? And he didn't tell us that so he can squash us. No, actually, naming the thing wrong can be a first step towards restoration. Another myth is that forgiveness means no consequences. But that's not right either. I mean, I told you the story before of two drunk drivers. Both of them had to front up to court. Both of them had to answer to the authorities that God's put in place. And the fact that one victim said, I forgive, doesn't change that fact. A third myth is that, well, forgiveness means we're friends again. Forgiveness may lead to renewed friendship. If you truly forgive, you will actually long for reconciliation. But of course, being friends is something that needs the other person to cooperate. Will the other person cooperate? See, reconciliation takes two. But forgiveness is something that you can at least begin on your own. So what is forgiveness? Well, basically, the word forgive means to let go of something, to leave it behind. And it's interesting that the same word that gets translated in the Lord's Prayer as forgive actually turns up a bit earlier in Matthew's book. If you look back at chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, there's that time where Jesus is walking by the lake. He sees two fishermen. He says, come and follow me. And then it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. And believe it or not, that word, they left, is actually the same word that's in the Lord's Prayer to describe forgiveness. Yeah, I mean, we could translate it, forgiving their nets, they followed him. That wouldn't really make sense in English. But isn't that an illustration of what forgiveness is about? To forgive is to let it go. Forgiveness starts with a decision. I need to decide I'm going to let it go. I've got to decide that the anger that I feel about being wronged, I'm going to let that go. Let God be the judge, not me. This desire I have for revenge, this right I have to get back and make them pay for what they did, that right, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to leave it to God to put things right. See, in this way, forgiveness starts in your heart. It doesn't end there. Forgiveness is also a process in which we seek an exchange. And what I mean by that is, okay, once we've forgiven in our hearts, then how do we approach the other person? We're not approaching them as an enemy to be defeated. We're not approaching them in some sort of win-lose battle. We're actually approaching them as someone to win over. We can say to them, I'm willing to sort this out. I'm willing to be reconciled. And we long for them to say back to us, I'm sorry, please forgive me. So that we can say, yes, I do forgive you. That's what I mean by an exchange. But even once that's happened, for us, the process of forgiveness is not over. Because I can tell you that even when we've decided to let something go, even when we've said to the other person, yep, I've let it go, doesn't mean that my feelings have just evaporated. Often our human nature wants us to go back there, just dig up the old hurts, look at them again, replay over and over again what that person did, and to grow bitter and resentful. And so actually forgiveness continues as we refuse to let ourselves do that. I mean, we can be honest about our hurts. There's true things that happened. We're not pretending it didn't happen. But we're not letting those memories create a new hatred for the person. And I can tell you from my experience, with God's help, that eventually those feelings of anger and bitterness do fade. And our emotions do fall in line more and more with the forgiveness that we decided to offer. I'm certainly not easy. And so where will we get the strength to do that? I think the answer is found in the connection that Jesus makes between God forgiving us and us forgiving others. The strength to forgive has to come from God, the God whose forgiveness we know through the gospel. So remember our other Bible reading, Matthew chapter 18. Remember the story of the unforgiving servant, that guy who owed the king 10,000 bags of gold? Anyone got 10,000 bags of gold lying around? As if he'll ever pay that back? We're supposed to understand, actually, that's us. We are the ones who have been forgiven so much by our generous king. I think one of the things that works against forgiveness in our lives is when we have this feeling, I deserve better. I deserve to be treated better than I have. I deserve to get paid back for all the wrongs that have been done to me. But do I? What do I really deserve? Don't I deserve to be sent out of the light of God's presence and into eternal darkness? And yet, what has he done for me? He has loved me. Undeserving sinner that I am. He has loved me. He decided to forgive me. He followed through on that decision by sending his son for me to die in my place. And so when I came to him and I said, forgive me, there was actually this wonderful exchange where in the promises of his word, he said, yes, I forgive you. And I want you to know that what you've done, I will no longer hold this against you. I will not dig it up again and again and be resentful against you. See, the good news is that God has not treated me as I deserve. Instead, he has overflowed with a generosity that I don't deserve. I mean, if you haven't yet come to terms with the scale of his generosity in forgiving you, then there's a good chance that you'll always be wanting to give back to people exactly what they deserve. But if you know that you have been generously loved, if you've become captivated by the beauty of the Father's generous forgiveness, then you'll want to pass that same kind of generosity onto others. It's interesting, back to the story of the unforgiving servant. When he goes out, the servant goes out to collect his debts, he wants to collect 200 silver coins. Now, that's actually about an equivalent of 3 months' worth of wages. So that's actually, it's still quite a bit, isn't it? Like, you'd kind of, if you'd lost 3 months of wages, you'd kind of want to get it back. Jesus isn't wanting us to think that the hurts and the suffering that we've experienced means nothing. But his point is that the price he paid for our sins means so much more than that. Now remember again, okay, back to the Lord's Prayer, the context of the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember, who is Jesus teaching this prayer to? You tell me. His disciples. So this prayer is not designed as the prayer you pray to become a Christian. This is the prayer you learn if you are somebody who has already come to know God's forgiveness. This is the prayer you pray as a child of God who wants to glorify and enjoy your Father who loves you in your daily life. Because once you've come to know God, he doesn't leave you unchanged. Martin Luther once said, "The outward forgiveness that I show in my deeds is a sure sign that I have the forgiveness of sin in the sight of God. On the other hand, if I do not show this in my relations with my neighbor, I have a sure sign that I do not have the forgiveness of sin in the sight of God, and I am still stuck in my unbelief." God intends there to be this cycle where his generous forgiveness of our sins grows in us a generous and forgiving spirit. And in this cycle, as we practice and pass on this forgiveness, and we learn how hard it is to do that and how we're actually not very good at it, but actually then we come to more and more appreciate and enjoy God's forgiveness for our sins. Friends, forgiveness is at the core of the Christian life. But I wonder if, to some extent, it's being lost in our society today. We live in the day of cancel culture. Do you know about cancel culture? Where those who sin get attacked on social media and they're cancelled out, and you never listen to anything they say again, and they can never be forgiven, they can never be restored. But cancel culture doesn't actually heal the wounds of injustice. Martin Luther King once said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Hate multiplies hate. Violence multiplies violence. And toughness multiplies toughness in a descending spiral of destruction." Friends, doesn't our society need to be introduced to a new cycle? A cycle that's fed by the love of God flowing to us for our forgiveness, and which enables us to let go of the bitterness and the hatred toward others? In the terrible Bosnian War of the 1990s, there was a village where 21 Christians were massacred by Muslim forces. And 3 years later, one of the relatives, a Christian named Ivo Markovic, he returned to that village to go and see his old family house. The house was occupied by a fierce woman who saw him coming, pointed a gun at him and said, "Go away or I will shoot." And he said, "No, you won't shoot me. You'll make me a cup of coffee." And suddenly, the cycle of hatred began to break. She made him coffee. They talked. And when he came back to visit again a month later, she said, "I rejoice at seeing you as much as if my son had returned home." Friends, if you belong to Jesus, then God has generously forgiven you. And so whatever it is that you hold against your brother or sister, isn't it time to let it go? I'm going to finish by reading a poem. I think this poem was written by J.I. Packer. And then after I read the poem, I'm going to leave a minute for each of us just to reflect in silence, to reflect on God's generosity towards us, to reflect on whether there are people that we need to pass that generosity on to. You might decide to forgive, to let go of the right for revenge and just give that to God. You can pray for the good of that person. You can quietly ask for God's strength to continue the forgiveness that begins in your heart. And here's the poem. "Forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray. But you alone can grant the grace to live the words we say. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart that broods on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart? In blazing light, your cross reveals the truth we dimly knew. How small the debts men owe to us, how great our debt to you. Lord, cleanse the depths within our souls and bid resentment cease. And then, reconciled to God and man, our lives will spread your peace."